Good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be able to be here and talk a little bit about some of the work that we're doing with balsam woolly adelgid and the problems we're having with that insect in the southern Appalachians. The balsam woolly adelgid is a piercing-sucking insect specific to the genus Abies. It's native to the silver fir forests in Central Europe and was introduced into the southern Appalachians in the mid-1950s. This is the adult surrounded by her eggs. This is a crawler, which is the only motile stage, and the insect reproduces strictly through parthenogenesis. They are all female, and the dispersal is primarily through wind. They feed on the parenchyma cells in the phloem through their stylets. Tree responses for susceptible species include hypertrophy and hyperplasia of the parenchyma cells, which is expressed through scouting. Here you can see the buds, which is really quite hideous for a Christmas tree species. There's loss of apical dominance, disruption of phloem channels and metabolic pathways, and the most drastic symptom that it produces in Fraser fir particularly is this abnormal xylem, and it's called Rotholz, as it is quite red. This clogs up the vascular system, and the tree is essentially thrown into a state of physiological drought and succumbs fairly rapidly. Fir species vary in their susceptibility to the balsam woolly adelgid. Highly susceptible species include Fraser fir, shown here. European silver fir is much more tolerant here. And Vetch's fir, which is an Asian species, is just this side of immune. And we're focusing primarily on Fraser fir and Vetch fir at the opposite ends of the spectrum. Fraser fir is endemic to isolated high elevation populations in the southern Appalachians. This map shows the range of Fraser fir. There are six general areas. These dark areas are where we find Fraser fir currently in native stands, and these blue areas are where there should be Fraser fir and is not. So the populations are already shrinking. In the first wave of BWA-induced mortality, over 95% of mature Fraser fir were killed. It's also a very important Christmas tree species for the southern Appalachians, and the industry spends millions of dollars every year in combating the insect, and these pesticides minimize the effectiveness of IPM strategies. There's a collaborative effort at NC State among scientists in entomology, forestry, and wood and paper science looking at this problem and the effects of this insect. And our long-term objective is to develop BWA-resistant Fraser fir trees for both the Christmas tree industry and restoration in native stands. To this end, our short-term objectives are to develop an effective and efficient artificial infestation technique for screening for host resistance, and also develop methods for conducting laboratory bioassays. I'll talk first about this initial short-term goal. From the past, especially in the 1970s and 80s, when the insect was first really popping up throughout the country and people were doing a lot of research with it, the main method for infesting was to pin infested bark pieces to the stem or bole of the fir tree. So here's a sample there. It seemed somewhat unkind very early on, so I adopted very quickly a method of just tying the infested bark pieces to the tree. In preliminary studies using this technique, we were successful with infesting very young trees. Here is BWA egg mass on, it was applied on a one-year-old tree. This is after some growth. You can see the gouting here, and these are the egg masses. This is a crown infestation of a three-year-old seedling. You can see the egg masses here. I can find my, here. Okay. And these are the egg masses here on a six-year-old stem. We wanted to do a broader infestation technique study and to try and find some way of infesting the trees in a more time-efficient way. So we built a greenhouse in the mountains and put treatment plots in and installed a study with 3 treatments, 2 ages of Fraser fir, for a total of 240 treatment trees and 48 controls. And this essentially is the this essentially is the design within the greenhouse. So our techniques were to attach infested bark to the tree bole, simply place infested bark at the base of the tree, and then suspend an infested bolt over the entire plot. We did this a number of times. We just deluged the trees with insects. So the results, there was a difference between the 2-year-old and the 1-year-old, or 2-year-old and 7-year-old trees, but the treatment differences with the younger trees was primarily in the very passive infestation of the controls. These were controls that were untreated in treatments 1 and 2, which is attaching bark and placing the bark. And so this represents simply tree-to-tree infestation. With the older trees, however, 100% of the trees that were exposed to the adelgid with the attaching bark method and suspended bolt method were infested, and they were significantly different than the other two. The number of egg masses, there were very few egg masses in totality on the very young trees, but they're only this big, so you wouldn't expect there to be very many, and there was no difference among the treatments. With the older trees, however, there was a significant difference between the placing the bark and then attaching the bark or suspending the bolt. So we were comfortable with this bolt suspension method as being a very time-effective way to introduce adelgids to the trees. And we wondered, when we hang a bolt over, how many were falling, and is there any kind of a drift? And so I installed a little study in the back room of our lab with very little airflow, where I suspended a 4-foot bolt of Fraser fir over a grid. The grid is essentially, there are 192 little squares, 3-inch by 3-inch, on this grid, and took them off, subsampled them, counted them, estimated, and ran the data through SAS and came up with this contour plot. This is where the log is over, and you can see the number of adelgids. These are the numbers here that are represented. And so there are, underneath the tree and in the surrounding areas, thousands of crawlers that fall. So this is a very good method. We're comfortable enough with it to have used it for a much larger study using 740 trees in the greenhouse, smaller studies in temperature-controlled rooms, and then very small studies in lab incubators. And this last image leads me to the next objective, which is develop methods for conducting laboratory bioassays of BWA host interactions. So I used a method, adapted a method that was developed by our laboratory technician in keeping bark pieces hydrated with wet sand. I used that technique to stick cut branch tips in there, infested those with BWA, and I used Fraser and Vetch for 5-year-old seedlings, and let it sit for 8 weeks. And we had first settled instars on all branches of both species, and on Fraser fir, on 10 of them, adults with eggs developed, and only one vetch had any sort of development into an adult, which is what we would expect. And so I wondered how this technique would work with mature Fraser fir. And so I did that, cut branch tips from mature Fraser fir, and after 6 weeks, we had, again, first settled instars on all branches and developing BWA on over half of the mature branch tips. So the implications from this are that this technique may be promising. We could use it for an initial range-wide host-resistant screening within Fraser fir, for laboratory bioassays, and for maintaining also a source of BWA for predator diets. So in summary, this branch tip technique is promising. It is possible to infest even very young seedlings, and both the attaching bark and suspending infested bolts are effective techniques, particularly the latter, which is very efficient in terms of time and whole tree infestations. I'd like to thank quite a few people for funding, and for help with these projects, and I'm open to questions.
We have time for a couple of questions.
Yes.
Leslie, I'm a student before you with Fred, and when I tried to invest Fraser Purse seedlings, very small ones, I was successful, but the infestations were always very small, and then they would go away after the month or two.
Are you Hollingsworth?
Yes.
Yeah, your name should have been there. I'm really sorry about that. It was your pinning technique, the little wraparound. Now, but say again, they went away after a while?
Yeah, the seedlings did not stay infested.
Right. Well, we've been able to maintain infestations for a couple of years, and it doesn't always happen that way, and it's difficult to say exactly why.